That's a good one. First.
I only watched it once. I could watch this movie again, though, for sure.
Yeah, that's why... wait till you start.
No, I already started recording. Snacking on some eggs. How about I just start 3D printing my own CDs instead of ordering anything?
How about you start 3D printing an ass scratcher?
Dude, I'm feeling crack style itchy, man.
Schematics for the fucking records. You can just go bloop bloop bloop. It's a brack, and you're all sweet.
Oh that man, be, yeah,
that's actually a really good idea.
Way easy to make a plastic record out of plastic.
Yeah, 3D print. A
and since it's within less than a hair, then that's perfect size for.
And then you get a sleeve too. It just slurps out a sleeve. You're all
yeah, whoop, dude. That's
hell yeah.
Protecting cover. You're all sloop.
Man, dude, yeah, the 3D printing, man.
Everyone.
So, how would you do that? Would you just get like the fucking? Would you just get like the wavelengths of how the music is?
Yeah. What did you see? What
and it would just transfer that into what it would be on a record. And it,
yeah, dude, right. What they were doing? They were just scanning it with like a laser.
And then you just regular print your fucking your gatefold.
Yeah.
Right.
But they would still build the gatefold for you.
Well, think of
it and print at the same time.
Think about what kind of industries do you think that 3D printing is going to actually destroy once it's in everybody's homes? I can tell you the first one, dildo industry is dead. Once people start 3D printing their own fucking dildos, like they're just going to be able to be like, they're going to be able to make it like rubbery eventually, and they'll be able to just print their own dildos and just like you were saying, pocket pussies, whatever they want. Shit like fucking weed pipes and stuff. That's all dead. I mean, if you want a glass piece made by your hippie friend down the corner, you can still go get one. But you could be able to print all that shit. Dildos. Pipes.
Another 3D cups. Printer. I want to make these twice as fast.
That's fucking cheating, man. That's like the kid who asked for unlimited wishes with his first wish.
Yeah, that you can do it twice as fast than your neighbor.
But think about things like even more practical uses. Like, how about this? You hate doing the dishes, so you just print a fork every time you want to eat some food.
How about just a never-ending hot dog? It just keeps eating out. You just sit there.
A never-ending hot dog?
Yeah, you just bite at it and just keeps making itself.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get this started. This is this is Cinema Dumpster, episode 26, Pink Angels. Let's do it.
Best movie ever.
All right, Cinema Dumpster, episode 26. This week we watched a movie called Pink Angels. It was made in 1972. This was Gabe's pick. As always, I'm your host, Ryan Idle. As with me, Gabe Asher, the picker.
Cello.
And we also have Axe Heaver, Jason. Hello.
What's up?
What's new with you guys?
We just talked about it for like 2 hours.
I know, but
you screwed us.
No, we have nothing. Recording.
I have nothing.
We were talking about 3D printing and all sorts of crazy applications and fucking asteroids destroying some shitty city like probably ours that may happen tomorrow. It's Valentine's Day. This is the Valentine's Day episode.
Hey, you want to know something I found out?
What?
If you have only been ever convicted of one felony... and it was over 15 years ago, you can legally own a gun again.
You can't, oh, because it's stricken off your record.
No, it isn't.
Oh,
you're allowed never? One in Oregon. You can have one, if you've only been charged and convicted of one felony and it's over 15 years old, you're fine. You walk
that seems all right.
I was all sweet. I thought it forever. I was
so did you go buy one?
Not yet, I'm going to.
Oh, what was your felony?
You know what I would do?
Thefts.
With
it can't be anything to do with violence or crime. Drug or gun related or weapon related.
Right. Well, you know what I would do is 3D print myself one of those rubber band guns that you used to make as kids.
Yeah. I got one with every fucking.
Yeah. You know what?
A six shooter of that.
You know what's funny? Actually, just real quick, we'll talk about that for a second, and because I didn't mention it earlier, there was this company that was working on creating. Weapons, actual guns, functioning guns, using 3D printers.
Oh, yeah.
And the government came in and said, nope, because they were getting government funding to research 3D print technology. And they were like, yeah, you can't make guns, motherfucker. And they just cut them off.
Because how long do you think it's going to be before somebody hacks a fucking schematic that works?
Well, I mean, you could make zip guns. It would just be a fucking bunch of molded moving
parts.
Anyways.
Yeah, it's just moving parts anyways.
But to be moving parts, you need ammo. I mean,
ammo's the only thing.
That's it. But yeah, you're exactly right. People will be able to print guns, but that shit's going to be fucking hugely illegal. But just like torrenting, you're going to be able to download schematics for a fucking weapon to print in your fucking microwave 3D printer.
You know
what
they could do is if you try to print fucking ammo, it would put like a fucking server number, like DNA pretty much, on the bullet. So every time that fucking thing gets fucking used or something, they could just extricate it.
Yeah. Well,
and then fucking, oh, it came from Ryan's house.
Well, if you weren't on the web, like, you could get the schematic somewhere else and program them into your computer if you weren't on the system.
I don't know, that's crazy.
If you go find a Commodore 64 / Tandy computer that reads binary code, some weird fucking off-the-grid computer off some dead server.
You don't have to be hooked into the web to make that shit work.
No, you just need need the data.
Yeah, you could get the data at a fucking coffee shop.
Listen, dude, we've been going up about 3D printers for like a half hour now that we're recording. Okay, so Pink Angels is correctly the Valentine's Day episode today. It is Valentine's Day, and we watched this movie called Pink Angels. It's about a bunch of bikers, gay bikers, some gay bikers, some not gay bikers, traversing the rough lands of the U.S. during the 70s. To get to a gala, basically. And the synopsis is this. 6 rough-and-tumble motorcyclists meet at the side of an empty highway to plan their adventurous excursion cycling to Los Angeles. The burly bunch are Michael, David, Henry, Arnold, Eddie, and Ronnie. They are deceptive, although they look like the adventure-addicted nonconformists of today out to raise hell as they brawl their way through the countryside and local towns. Actually,
who did they brawl?
I think they said brawl.
They were just...
brawl.
Actually, the 6 are on a different type of trip to the city of Los Angeles. And even that synopsis is weird. It's like,
even though they know exactly what it is, they don't tell you shit.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you didn't spoil this movie for us.
Yeah.
It was fucking such a moving experience by the time it was over. I was
did
just
it get
like,
you rock hard, bro?
It was nuts, man. The way they shot this shit was great.
Everything about it was good. I think that. All of us really enjoyed this film. It was a blast to watch. It's a crazy movie. I don't believe it's very easy to find on the Interbutts.
It's only on that collection
and
you
there's
have.
There's a clamshell VHS that I probably cutting off like 40 or 50 bucks that I was like, I just want to see this first or dump that kind of money on it.
It might be worth it.
Yeah. I know that there was no real ever slipcase made for it.
Hmm.
But, yeah, that's why I bought like all those other movies, just for that one.
Oh, for that one. Well, it was a worthy buy because this was a fucking crazy movie. It's coined as a comedy as well, and I had trouble watching this as a comedy. Like, it didn't seem...
It was just a pretty standard exploitation, but it had multiple groups that it was doing the exploiting of.
Right. So, I mean, we might as well just be out with it. The biker gang that we're watching is gay. They're flamboyant homosexuals.
Tranny cross-dressers.
Yeah, and they're going to, like, what they believe is this huge, like, cross-dressing party that they're going to show up and have a blast at in L.A. And from what I took from it, basically, is that they decided to dress up like bikers so they wouldn't be hassled during their excursion and commute. Like, I don't know about you guys.
I think they actually were bikers.
Yeah, remember in the movie when they're formulating a plan, they're already a biker crew? They just met again.
Right, well, in the beginning, they really, you think so?
I think they liked both.
I think they overcompensate their women wearing shit, so they just go biker. Just the most farthest end they could think of.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. That's my point. Is that, and I also took it as in this day and age, even the movie kind of, like, everybody's, like, taken aback that they're gay. So, like, for them, like, this is kind of maybe like...
Yeah, this is 1972.
Maybe you
so
were, brother. Not me.
No, no. What I'm saying is that...
Listen to this guy backpedaling. Wait. No.
Yep.
Listen to the guy named Gay Basher, Hasslin Ryan. <I
know>. Yeah. No, but what I'm saying is that... Like, they even mention it in the movie. They're like, people are watching us because they're, like, out of character. And so they get into this character of, like, tough guy to for them to be able to travel safely and deal with the society that
they're really bad very... at keeping it that way. Though.
Well, right. But they're I mean, the movie kind of, you know, lets you know, and when the movie was even made, that people... were not okay.
People were just barely getting over the fucking over black people having equal rights.
Right, exactly.
Much and less a bunch of fucking queers.
Goddamn fairies.
Bunch of bananas.
And that's my point. And I think that,
are they?
Fucking bananas.
I think that even in the context of the movie when it was made, like we think about it differently because of our generation and where. You know, the way we think about fucking homosexuals, like in the
community. I don't think about fucking homosexuals.
Yeah, what are you doing over there?
You know what I'm saying? So anyways, and I think that what they were doing was they put on this hard shell to like be like, we're these guys, we're not gay, and they're pretending. And you can see it throughout the entire case of the film, but then they break character and they when they get into themselves and... That is what happens, and you have to realize that that's what happens.
There is one guy does not break character the whole goddamn movie.
Who?
The short fucking dude, the awesomest biker.
Yeah. You mean Matt Dedrick?
Yeah. Yeah, that one. That guy is so cool.
Dude, I loved it when he actually reverse breaks character at one point.
I was like, what the
fuck? When he's all, look at all them bros.
He's all dragging one off into the bushes.
Yeah, and you're definitely correct about that guy, but everybody else was doing...
Just the audio is great.
The black guy's pretty gay the whole time.
Hey, hella gay.
Yeah, you're right.
He's fucking super gay.
But the let's say the leader of their gay gang is always like trying to be like
he's overcompensating the whole time, like trying to be an asshole to everybody and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So anyhow, the wiki said about it was that it was a somewhat campy film about a gang of homosexual bikers who head down the coast to attend a drag ball. And so we get into the film, and there's this weird scene in the beginning where it looks like people are at this pool party. And I hope you guys got more insight, especially you because you watched it twice, on why we see this scene.
The first 10 minutes were fucking super confusing. I didn't know what was going on, and I couldn't tell. Like, everything didn't make any sense because they hadn't set anything up yet. And then the second time through, when I watched it, all the scenes made sense because I had already seen it.
Even
once.
The first one?
Even the first one, yeah.
Okay, so you'll have to explain this to me, because to me it was just like a bunch of people hanging out at this pool party and this guy like eating boogers out of his nose with his own tongue. Like the guy was licking his nose. And that's all I remember. And then Trent Reznor was there, that's what I wrote. And then that's the
fucking the leader of the gay guys.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's totally them different. And the other biker gang. Weird. That's the party they were going to. That's just the very end of the film, at the very beginning of the film.
That makes more sense. But I did like the audio here, and I grabbed it because this is how I feel every day. This is what everybody... This is the weirdest fucking audio clip. Okay, I'm just gonna play it.
Party.
That's literally like the first thing you hear in the movie.
He says we're at the wrong party, and then it repeats party over and over.
I just wanted to hear Andrew WK. Party.
You should sample that.
It'd be a good one. So there's this weird general guy that this high school band plays into his...
Dude!
I had no... That was another thing. The whole movie, I didn't know what the fuck they were doing with him until the second time
through. I totally thought that guy was, like, some just fucking dude at his house with like a fucking made up office who'd make his wife come in and pretend to be a fucking his secretary. Oh. Like the first time I saw him all.
Like to some crazy guy.
It's like this guy's rumpus room. And he's pretending to be, and he's doing this really hacky job of pretending to be a fucking general. Yeah. I was all, dude, he's probably doing this at his house.
And that's his with his top secret maps just and his being a gun assembling
bag in his fucking man cave.
Right, and then.
But I was trying to figure out for the whole time how it tied in with. Because they keep cutting to him throughout the whole movie, and the first time through, I was just like, what the fuck is going on with this guy? Why are they putting these scenes in?
Yeah, I have no idea why they were doing it either.
Maybe they were just trying to use some old other movie. The same fucking guy.
Some footage
from that one show didn't go.
They already had about the Russians taking over.
And a bunch of long hairs.
Yeah. It was that guy's character throughout the entire film just blew my mind because I didn't know what he was doing. I still don't know what he was trying to accomplish. Apparently,
I do.
He was trying to get rid of
motorcyclists and hippies and fags.
Well, I don't even think he referenced the fags
in
the
implied when you think of
it. But the very last line of the fucking film, it's pretty referenced.
Right, but we'll get to that. So, but that was, I think that surprised him even. He was like, what?
It was like fucking two birds with one stone for him. He was like, fuck!
To kill this dude is so stupid. So, anyhow, after that, we see bikers cruising by a big rig and we get the opening credits, and it's weird in these old 70s movies where you got, like, the Technicolor, like in the opening credits, you got to see, like, Technicolor instead of, like, in the closing credits. You're like, what?
Which there were no fucking closing credits for this movie.
That goddamn opening theme song went on forever, and that was that dumbass folky dude bitch moaning about
whatever. There's a lot of fucking hippie music
in this. I wanna love you forever. Oh, God,
the music.
Just kept looping and looping. It just never ended.
Well, you know what was weird to me about the music in this movie is that they were trying to do, like, from Free Rider, like, all this really, like, country-based American music, and it was just.
Are you talking about Easy Rider?
Easy Rider. Well, Easy Rider, Free Rider, same thing.
You saw the generic fucking knockoff movie?
They're both easy.
What, Paul E. Newman?
Awesome. It was a God Bless America. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
The opening.
God Bless America, sip faggots and bikers.
And they're at this weird, like place where there's all these huge concrete pipes and they plant a flag into the ground and
they shake each other's hands really manly and make sure and you don't think they're gay at first.
That's when you're saying they came up with the plan, but I don't know. I think that they, I don't know. I disagree because they had dresses and stuff in the
pipes.
Dude,
they were fucking maybe fucking handshaking like they fucking seen each other in God knows when.
No, they were already
saw each other like 2 days ago. They think they're gonna do a bunch of wrist shaking and hugs and shit. Hey man, it's been 24 hours.
Possibly.
Nah.
All right,
fair enough. They were just trying to be really tough at first.
Yeah. So they were getting into their personas. So they start cruising down the road, and all their motorcycles sound like Mario Karts to me when they're speeding down.
I think there's a turtle shell going flying off.
And they come across this hitchhiker. And he's dressed in his full Canadian blues.
Dude, yeah, he's straight up Turbo Negro with that shit.
Yeah. They stop to have a chat with this dude, and they offer him a ride, and he gets on the back of one of the gentlemen's bikes, and they're off like the wind, and then there's this weird scene with this hippie chick, and she's cruising by.
No, and I totally got that fucking scene afterwards, too, because they haven't set up that they're gay yet.
Yeah.
And so she's hot, and she's trying to get them to fucking react to her, and they're just all, dude, move on.
They don't care, and she's like, "Fuck you guys! Look at me, I'm hot."
Yeah.
Well, apparently. Okay.
The first time I watched it, I was just like, "What the fuck are they doing?" And then this after like knowing that they're gay, I'm like, "Oh."
Okay, so here's something that kind of made me think that they were in costume for this entire trip. The one guy that has the Nazi flag on his head. That made me think that they were in costume.
No, the bikers rocked Nazi flags all the fucking time back in the day. It was just a rebellion thing.
He didn't want to have to grow it because he had to do the ball anyways.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Bikers rocked Nazi flags all the time. It was just a rebellious thing and a shock value thing. It wasn't necessarily racist.
You can say the same thing about like Sid Vicious, but okay, whatever. So we get back to that government guy, and he's listening to radios and talking about America is being invaded by asshole sexual deviants or something like that. Why is he eating a sandwich?
Sexual deviants.
And they stop at this burger joint, and they're like super intimidating at this burger joint. And like, he's like, I just want a burger.
And fries.
And then why aren't you writing this shit down?
Got it.
It's so funny.
And then there's this.
I'm all, oh, shit. And as then, soon as they start talking.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the first real dialogue you get in the movie.
It sounds like some, like, Popeye's cousin or some shit.
But
five hot dogs.
It's like, they have this whole weird innuendo conversation about, like, how's your muffler? Well, it needs some more man meat. And, like, all these weird, like, innuindos that they're using,
but they're still
fucking hot dogs.
But they're still kind of acting tough at
the
same time.
They're staring at that hitchhiker, like sucking on their hot dogs.
Yeah, and the one guy,
dude, they like kind of like bump him and like tussle him around a little bit.
Just throw him around, Sherry Chim,
and then they just turn into fucking flaming faggots all of a sudden.
And they go nuts for it.
Matt Dedrick starts talking, and it's over from there.
Well, he tells that, he whispers that dude, he goes, I love you. Like that, and he's like, what?
Maggots.
They have a fucking super flamer food fight.
They have a food fight where they start, you know.
Why the hell don't you have that faggot fucking sound clip?
I do, but you got ahead of me. So you want to hear it?
Play it.
No, because they got in the food fight, and the guy's like watching them in this food fight.
You're faggots.
No way. I have it. I'm gonna play it.
Not yet. Spoiler. Do it.
Jesus Christ! You're all faggots.
Excellent.
And then he runs across the road and almost gets hit by a train.
This dude was a Monty Python shit, dude. No, he was hauling ass and cruising back and forth.
I thought he was gonna be a character in the movie. And, like, they would maybe, like, hang out with them later. But this guy just takes off down to that train track. And he's running toward, like, across the train tracks. And then he turns around and they do, like, this whole comic-y thing. Like where he's like, oh, no, the train's coming. So he's running
the
way.
They held way too long, the whole shot.
Yeah.
They, like, did it real time. They, like, ran down the track, turned around.
It's so bad. So the romping,
it was awesome though.
The romping gay food fight goes on for a while, and then
I was really actually hoping for homosexual rape and that. I was guessing to get turned out.
I'm a hot dog, and they all thought that was the funniest thing they fucking heard. Look at me, I'm a hot dog.
It's great. Good stuff.
You literally could have just fucking captioned the whole movie soundbite wise, except for the bikes droning. And that would have been perfect.
It was funny, but I couldn't do it because it would have been 2 months. Yeah. So you might as well watch a movie. So they're cruising across the country. They're taking off. They freeze the wind.
They're going down the coast.
The popos show up. These cops, they mean business. I mean, seriously, these cops mean such fucking dumb business.
They have like 45 weapons strapped to each of their bodies.
Yeah, when they get out of their car.
They look like fucking Rambo.
Yeah.
Guy's got a fucking handgun in one hand, a rifle strapped around his back.
And a shotgun in the other hand.
Shotgun in the other hand, and bullets.
Like bandolier bullet belt.
It's like, what are you doing? Exactly. It's fucking ridiculous. And the cops are interrogating them, and he explains. He's like,
oh, wait, we totally missed part. Did you see that scene when they first show up to the diner, like the drive-in? And he wrecks into the fucking sign.
Yeah, just the
and dude, and it hits that. Yeah. It's a wooden sign. It hits that one dude in the fucking face.
Yeah,
hard.
It's a gay. It was a limey.
No, it wasn't. It was the guy with the fake mustache.
Yeah, I do remember that. That was awesome.
And he hits him in the fucking face, and then they cut scene, and then they get back to the scene immediately, and it's him getting out of it. I think they might have fucked him up a little bit with that. That looked like it hurt.
Ran him into a sign. The actor was just like, fuck your face. And anyhow, the cops are interrogating them, and the leader, he explains that they're going to this this ladies' ball, and he gets popped out with a burned out bulb. What? What's that right in here?
No, his fucking bulb on his. The reason he pulled him over was because his bulb was out on his bike.
Oh, right. And the one super gay dude, the guy you keep calling Matt Dedrick.
He does look like him a little bit, huh?
Says, he's
like him and Wally mated.
It's Matt Dedrick, but Hobbit style.
Yeah. Miniature. Yeah, Dedrick.
All right. And he explains that he's a red-blooded American faggot that he can't scare. And the officer seems intrigued as they hand over his IDs. These
your
cops,
current address? I'll be over tomorrow.
This is what I wrote last night when I was wasted watching this movie. These cops are ready for the gay zombie apocalypse.
They're going all fucking walking dead on that place.
And so we have this English book along with him. He has no ID, so he's fumbling around trying to find it. And
he's from Liverpool.
And the cops, they reluctantly hand over the IDs. They realize they have nothing on these guys. There's no drugs or anything. All they found was this lockbox that had, like, bras in it. And the cops are stunned. They're like, why do you males have bras?
You better get your hands off of my stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. And then we get this weird scene where the government guy, the general, he has his top secret map. That,
it's his top secret, but it's like the top secret part's like made out of fucking push pins.
Yeah,
they're like spelled top secret and push pins.
And then we see them shopping at this grocery store at some other town they stopped in, and there's a couple of the dudes are arguing like couples about what kind of chips to get because some soup is gayer than other and other chips are lame. And they start to get liquored up at this local bar, and the Golden Girls show up.
Dude, that was the most awkward fucking scene.
The dancing was awesome.
Dude, and they all like had
that
their
fucking
moment.
The Asian chick and the black chick were fucking throwing down moves.
Dude, they were.
It was rad.
But it was just like a procession, and they all like had their little entrance and like fucking did their little dance.
It was so weird, dude. And a lot of those ladies were really old. And
there was only one of them that was old.
No, there was like three, and they were super old.
No, there was only one old one.
No, you're wrong. And so these women are trying
For you, since you like the 18-year-olds.
Oh, wow. These women are trying to get their junk all over these dudes, and they're like, well, man, we're trying to get paid because
they pretty
whores.
Much just give them the shoulder and bounce.
Yeah, because they're all gay. And so they're like, well, let's get back on the road. And
we got a picnic.
Yeah. And so they find this picnic spot, exactly like you said. And then we see something about this general guy.
There really were a lot of scenes with him with tie-in.
Like, no context. Like, this is what I wrote. The anti-gay general against all gayness constructs his weapon blindfolded, and we have this weird Benny Hill moment. He's a cheater.
And his fucking hair's
Benny
like
Hill's like, yeah.
Yeah, and his hair's all fucking like
fucking scene, dude.
Reverse comb over coming off the side.
Oh man, I don't even know what's going on there. So back at the gay picnic table, they're making that one dude, Matt Dedrick's making it super nice. And like they're arguing about like,
I'm gonna
what
tag
needs to go
him in this when we post it.
You started it.
I'm going to.
And
I'm tag
these
him.
These hetero bikers are cruising around, and they seem like real bad dudes. And I say they got jokes here. So what is this?
Wait, you're not gonna go over? You didn't get the candelabra fucking clip?
Hey, well, hang on. No, I didn't. But
get it.
This is what. This is while they're. This is while they're at the
fetch
the picnic. So.
You know, Arnie, I never knew my dad. For heaven's sake, how come? He was always in drag.
Yes.
So, there is a plot hole. If his dad was gay the whole time, how did he ever make the son? Maybe adopted?
Could have been transvestite.
No, gay dudes have kids all the time. Well, look at most fucking weird anti-gay pastors.
I'm not being serious. Right now, at all. I'm just saying, if his dad was always transsexual or trans, whatever. You know what I'm saying. Also, I missed something that I would like to play, an audio clip, when they were getting liquored up and the Golden Girls come out. And I want to know who will get this right first. Who does this sound like?
I'd look ravished in that dress.
The black 5, 4, 3, 2 All right, one more time, guys. Who does this sound like that is not in the movie?
I'd look ravished in that dress.
I have no idea.
No idea?
No.
Do you need a hint?
Just tell us. How's that?
Famous cartoon character.
Was it Snoopy?
Snoopy?
The I'd silent look ravished in that dress.
Famous cartoon character. Play along, audience. One more time.
I'd look ravished in that dress.
Nothing? You guys got nothing.
One more time.
Comedy series on Fox.
I'd look ravished in that dress.
Doesn't sound like anybody to me.
All right. You guys all loose. I'm sure some of our three listeners got this already. It's Stewie from Family Guy.
It doesn't sound like Stewie at all to me.
Yes, it does. You want to listen to it one more time?
No, I just heard it.
I'd look ravished in that dress.
It doesn't sound like fucking Stewie to me.
Yes, it does. That's...
No, it not to me, it doesn't. Don't tell me, Ryan.
Do you hear it?
Was it a 5-year-old fucking actor who's doing his voiceover back then?
No, okay. You know what? Somebody is... Kyle Cregan is going to listen to this and he's going to go, yep, I know exactly
that
what you're talking about.
Fucking... Pothead drunk is your only fucking connection. Okay, dude.
Dude, that sounds
Wait,
just like Stewie.
Wait, watch who you're talking to. Right. This pothead drunk right. over here.
Okay.
They gotta stick together.
All right. Yep, we are gonna stick together because somebody's gonna listen to that and they're gonna know I'm. They're gonna know how right I am. Anyways, so the other bikers show up at the gay bikers rundown in like the bar and they're looking for people and. The guy has his... Wait, no. They show up at the...
They show up at the picnic site.
But here's the weird thing is like, I was like, I thought they were... We were going to get some sort of thing where they were doing the same thing as the other gay bikers, and they were all trying to pretend like they were manly, too. Like, that's where I thought it was going.
And then after a couple beers, they all start fucking in the
gym. Yeah. Well, because when they show up, the main leader has a pink circle on his butthole. Like on his pants.
Yeah, it is weird.
And he has them on his on the front too, and both of the arrows are pointing at his dick.
Yeah, I was like, well,
these are the spots that your hands can go. In my butthole and on my junk.
So totally confusing. I'm like, okay, so these guys aren't hetero, right? They're just trying to do the exact same thing, but have these small, like little like, oh man, you got a pink circle on your butt. That means you want me to put my dick in there, right? So anyways, the guy has a... so they start partying, right? And, there's that one scene, and I didn't catch it.
Where no, they like, had to, yeah.
Where your broad's at? And he's like...
Where your broad's?
Like, we pick ours up on the way, and then...
So do we.
Yeah. And so he's like, go pick up the broad's. And the dude hauls ass back to the fucking bar to pick up all the golden girls.
Puts them in the back of a fucking semi.
Yeah, like old bags of meat. You stand back here and hold this hook.
And like a fucking rent a truck with the little elevator on it that brings shit up. And
those whores couldn't get out of that truck fast enough. They didn't wait for the thing to land on the ground.
They need some money.
What do they think they're going to get from a bunch of fucking creepy, dirty old bikers? Well, these guys look like they have a lot of money.
I know. It just seems like...
Are you really trying to get with the fucking consistency of this film?
It just seems like a bad place to have a whorehouse.
You're right.
Only ones going to be there are truckers and fucking bikers.
What,
the Tories are constantly needing to fucking have sex, though. I mean, you're gonna have to work a lot, but you're going to get a lot of money.
If I was that old bitch, I'd fucking... fire half that crew and take more in the mouth.
Well, I'm glad.
If I was that old bitch, I would have doubled up cock. I'd do more than those youngins that I ever think of.
You young girls, you have don't a good, know how you have to a good one kind.
Poor business. Yeah, I'll do that.
So they're walking the line looking at the ladies and they're all like trying to pick them out. And the leader. We find the oldest of the golden girls. Is the most attractive to the leader of the hetero gang.
The rattiest of the
And the leader of the Pink Angels is like, no, she's my old lady. And he's like, yeah, not anymore. And he's like, all right, as long as I can watch. And I'm like, what?
And he stood over him the whole time.
What system was that? He's all, don't have sex with my wife. Well, can I watch at least?
It was really weird because, like, I guess this was their whole, like, that's why I'm saying they were, like, pretending this whole time to be.
Well, they were pretending, but I think they were bikers for fun, too.
Well, it's possible.
They knew how to drive side hacks.
Yeah, they knew how to.
Yeah, but the other motorcycle gang, like, made fun of them for that because they're like, look at this piece of shit. Like, you have to ride your own bike or you're pussy. I don't know, whatever.
Well, that's how gay bikers roll.
And then it gets a little bit
saddle.
It gets a little bit creepy as that old dude's banging her and he's watching, and one biker is getting down with this actually really hot black chick, and then we get this weird audio.
That's Dan Haggerty.
That's Dan Haggerty.
That's Grizzly Adams.
Okay, so this audio, when I was listening, I was like, what?
Yeah, it's really weird. Here it comes out of nowhere.
Life is not only beautiful, it's good.
What?
That was like their little
thing. It's like did it really take people that long to write, like, Black of the Berries, Sweeter the Juice, and Friday? This is just, black is not only beautiful, it's good. That's so terrible writing.
Yes,
it's awesome. Couldn't write anything better than that. And this is why, this is why this guy's like ravaging her body and sucking her tits and stuff. And she's fucking smoking hot. And that's what she says to the camera. The camera's right at her face.
Yeah, she looks at the camera.
She says that in every movie she's in. They're usually pornos, though.
In 1972, it was a different fucking place.
Absolutely. Is that? I wonder if that's what she said in Logan's Run. Maybe. On her way up to.
I think it's called Logjam's Run, though.
Oh, Jesus.
The porno version of Logan's Run. Just a fucking group of people in robes bent over in the middle of that thing, getting fucked by everybody until they get sucked up into the emulsion machine.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay, so anyways, the next morning, everybody's like hammered. They're passed out on rocks. They look like shit. And all of the hetero dudes have like bow ties and they have makeup all over their faces. And they all start laughing. They think it's hysterical. But then Jude Law starts looking into some sort of...
Jude Law?
He looked like Jude Law.
No, he didn't.
He had
that ratty old dude with a beanie?
He had a cracker
Jude
plate.
Jude Law? Joaquin Phoenix, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I meant. They kind of look alike, too. So
the hair lift and the other
guy. So it looked like Joaquin Phoenix. He had like a cracker plate that had some shine on it. And he was looking.
Yeah, it was like a silver serving platter.
Yeah, and he was laughing, but then all of a sudden he starts losing his mind.
Got so mad, pissed. Those fucking bananas.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to kill him.
I don't get why they're all laughing about it, but then like he just rages like a little kid.
Because it was disrespectful, but he thought it was pretty funny at first.
But then he's like, you can't do this to me, guys. I'm gonna get you. And so anyways, somebody's bike breaks down, and it's making funny because it was making funny noises.
My bike's making funny noises.
That's essentially what happened. And they're broken down, and this woman shows up, and offers to give him a ride.
Oh, my God. One super, where the fuck did that come from? That was it.
That was awesome. She's going the other way. They're all pulled over on the other side. She pulls over and just like, you gonna need a ride?
So they send one of their fucking minion with her.
Well, the mustachioed dude they send with him to go get the plug they need. He's off in the station wagon with her. And
is that the one that... sustained fucking head injuries.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we already got a history of violence towards this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Even within his own crew.
And the hetero bikers, they're pissed off and they're freaking out and they they're going on after, like, they're, we're going to find them. And they're pissed about being turned into schoolgirls.
Well, pretty much just only the leader's pissed. The other ones are just along for the ride.
Right.
They're like, that was fun. I don't give a fuck.
Right, you're probably right. And, well, that one dude got to bang that hot black. She was a looker.
I love the fucking scene where Matt Dedrick takes the one blonde girl down by the fucking water at the orgy scene. And they're like wrestling and pulling each other's hair. And he's like, you want this 10 pounds of hanging man meat?
Dangling something?
Yeah, dangling. 10 pounds of dangling fucking fury. 10 pounds of dangling fury. That's what he calls it.
How did I miss that one?
I don't know.
I loved it when he tried to act super fucking tough, like when the hookers first show up and he's all, oh yeah, look at all them bras. But he's usually the one who's just like, oh honey.
Yeah. So while they're stuck on the side of the road, this conversation kind of cracked me up because these are the Pink Angels stuck on the side of the road waiting for their plugs to come back.
Plugs.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah. How does your bike break down mid-ride because the spark plugs went out? Your spark plugs have to do with your starter. They don't keep your car running.
I'm telling you, there was innuendos through the whole movie like that, and that's what they did it for.
This scene,
I think that they were actually stoned when they did this. And it looked really real to me, and that's why I kind of liked it. So here it is.
I thought you didn't smoke, right?
One puff doesn't hurt you, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's my scene.
Okay.
One
puff. You're a one puff freak, huh? That's it. One puff is your
girl. Yeah, they were high.
Oh. Hell, puff-o. Puff it up.
Puff it up.
Puff up.
I'm going to do a puff up.
Damn. I still can't get over how much that guy looks like Matt Dedrick.
Did you say no?
They were definitely stoned.
Yeah, and that's...
I think everybody was stoned the whole making of this film.
Right, but I...
Really, and like the orgy scene, I think everybody was fucking wasted. You saw the way they're acting, like... They were acting wasted. They were just fucking wasted.
Dry humping.
Running around.
Angry circle.
Like pouring champagne all over each other.
Fucking silly shit.
This movie looked like it was a lot of fun to make.
Oh, I'm sure they had a blast.
The black chick probably got banged a couple times. She showed her tits.
A little bit of dark meat. They were really racist too. They're all, ooh, you like a little slant in your life when they walked up to the fucking
dude, telling her she has a sideways pussy.
Yeah.
Really? I don't remember that.
Yeah, when they were doing the rundown of all the hookers.
Nice cheekbones.
Where do you think that rumor came from? Because I remember hearing that rumor when I was in elementary.
It's because their eyes are slanty.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense.
It's not a rumor, man.
I've seen him.
I've seen it. It winked.
Really? That's good. I'm glad you found that porno that I've never been able to find with a slanted vagina.
That you're still looking for? Right,
I've been looking for it for days. I Google it at least once a day. I figure at some point I gotta hit a mark.
Some malformed fucking woman. All right, I got it.
Right. So they're back on the road after the.
The breakdown.
Yep.
Maybe it's a meltdown.
Yeah.
They're communicating. I like how there's a scene where they're all riding on their bikes and they have these old school walkie talkies with like this 10-foot fucking antenna that you had like as a kid. Like you're pulling it out all the way up to the ceiling.
Like they're like eight feet away from each other.
So fucking
huge. Yeah, and they're literally they're like 10 feet away from each other riding in their bikes, right. And they're using them to talk.
And that general of whatever he's the general of is back on the scene.
General of fucking super bigoted bullshit.
Yeah, I have no idea what this guy's even doing in the film. Know. But
he works from home by the looks of it.
All he's saying is that he hates bikers. And the weird thing is there, and he says, thanks for your financing, Senator. And it's like, why would the Senator be financing the general? That doesn't work. The senator wouldn't be giving the private donations.
Private donations for a military operation.
But that's all he says. He's like, thanks for the campaign financing, Senator. And I was like,
isn't that work the other way?
I don't even think it works at all between the two. But there's definitely not a senator giving. Well, maybe a senator could give a governor or a general money to like go to war. I don't know. It makes no sense for me. That's why for any lobbyist.
I thought it was a whole different like beast from a different movie.
Until I saw
them all in one shot, I would assume they just picked it up off some other movie and said, "Oh well, yeah, we could pad this thing for another 10-15 minutes."
Yeah. Yep.
And they'll just slice all the story around the fucking thing.
So anyhow, the Pink Angels, they show up at this hotel and they're checking in. But they realize that they lost the dress that the gay black dude was wearing for his.
He's
their
queen, by the way. He's their lead tranny.
Right, and he was super excited to wear this dress and like it's not there. Oh no, I don't know what happened to it. One of the hetero dudes. Well, obviously not so hetero, took it because he wanted to wear it. Or maybe one of the sluts took it because she thought it was dope. And what happens here? The main man suicides the fuck out of the dress woman. She is super excited. That doesn't even make any sense, Ryan. More gay innuendos. And then there's this scene where they all go shopping. So they're like, well, fuck it. We'll go buy dresses. And they're like putting lipstick. I love them when they're going to buy lipstick.
Yeah.
And there's that chick with the mustache behind the counter selling them lipstick.
Nah.
But even when they're like putting it on him, it's like a dude literally putting mustache or lipstick on a dude that's never done it before. It's like, pack! He's just like doing circles.
Now like, I'm here.
I like that. What happens next?
It goes back to the hotel and the big bearded dude and the English dude are up there, and they order a drink because they need something stiff and stimulating for their throats. And so they order a drink and a naked room service bitch comes up there starts offering them all sorts of drugs, and they're like, they end up not wanting drugs, and then she starts hinting towards, well, you want anything else? No. You want anything else? You sure? No.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Else? And then there's that weird scene where
it cuts to her boobs and it moves.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What
was that?
That's so awesome. Like, creepy. Like, nah, we're not into it. I'm like, well, we realize you guys are gay. You don't have to keep throwing it at the audience's face. And that's basically what they're doing. Like, everybody's confused. Like, why don't these dudes just want to fuck? I mean, even if you were a straight male in the... I mean, maybe...
Bikers are different, though.
But, I mean,
especially back in the 70s, they were trying to assert their...
We're
wild party. Basically, yeah. We're wild fucking partiers. We'll fuck anything. We'll do any drugs.
Well, anyway, so they bring their queen to the dress store. They pick out a dress for him, and there's
perfect
like,
animal print on a black man. It's beautiful.
and a matching headband. They somehow had size 11 shoes that he was into, and he's like, "Ooh, those are great."
Well, there were women's shoes, so they asked for size 11. So size 11 women's.
Well, isn't like, that it's weird. Only 9. You're right.
Yeah.
And then they show up in full drag, all of them. The entire Pink Angels are now in full drag. Like, it just goes from that to this. They're all in full drag, and they're going to the local bar.
The hotel bar, yeah.
And they don't give a fuck about Tu Wong Fu or any of that shit. Like they
don't give a fuck about actually looking like women at all.
Yeah, there's some rough looking
mustaches going on shit. And the raging hetero bikers, they show up and they're looking for these guys everywhere. And plot twist,
I thought they were busted at first.
Yeah,
because they walk in and they're like, ooh, she looks familiar. that one looks familiar. And then they totally don't. They totally don't know who they are.
They're like, check out the hot ladies, and they're just mingling and they're buying them drinks.
But except for the one was like, oh my god, that one's fucking ugly.
Yeah, it's so fucking ridiculous. The whole thing.
They've been chasing these guys for days, and then all of a sudden they're like, ooh, look at the hot ladies, and they're gonna take them to a party.
They get theirs on the run.
Yeah, Neanderthal dick brains.
I'm not surprised their fucking leader liked him because he loved that old troll lady. But I mean, like the rest of them, have some fucking standards. Those dudes were not hot ladies.
So there was a part during this whole bar mingling scene where the bad guys are with the good guys. Well, the Pink Angels are who we're following, and then we have these hetero guys like hitting on them now, and we're like, oh, what's gonna happen? But there was this really weird, like, in the background sound that I really liked. It fucking cracked me up, dude. Let's listen to it. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
What did
it say? Do you like chicks? Wait, hang on. Let's listen again.
Chicks really dig bikers, huh? You chicks really do bikers. Sounds
like that
huh?
Fucking dude from The Simpsons that was always drinking Duff beer. What's his name? I'm drawing a blank.
Barney.
Is that like Barney? Just and this is random. And it was totally in the background, and I just caught him like, what the fuck? And I had my headphones on, so I could hear it real well, and I just kept going back listening to it over and over.
So you chicks really dig bikers, huh?
So, anyhow, all the bikers, they tell the hetero bikers that they're going to this party, and they're welcome to come if they want. And it's definitely a trap. In the literal sense of the word,
why
this
in
is
the
a trap.
Hell would they invite the fucking street bikers knowing that as soon as they find out they're not chicks, they're going to kill them?
I have no idea.
Maybe they're pretty good at fighting. Who knows? I mean, just because they're gay doesn't mean they can't protect themselves. They're still dudes.
Well, right. I mean, but
they got the drop on them. They know they're not chicks.
Well, but if that was the case, then they would have beat the shit out of them at the fucking picnic in the first place. But instead, they went and got a bunch of girls to distract them. I don't think
they just don't want to fight.
Right, but then instead you're just gonna go grab a bunch of whores and
because it made for a better movie. You guys are overanalyzing a really shitty movie.
I'm gonna fuck you guys over, and then we're gonna haul ass to get away from you, and then we're just gonna willingly go with you.
Yeah,
what the hell?
I agree.
I don't think they hauled ass away. They just
they did too. They even said
no. The other ones they didn't even know. The other ones
wake up. We're gonna be at the ball.
Well,
when they were fucking before they broke down.
So anyways.
Okay, so there's inconsistencies in this silly fucking movie.
So they show up at the ball, and there's I don't know, some sort of security is pissed about the bikers, and there's some sort of eagle memorial. I don't know what that was.
Well, they show up at the ball, and there's security there, and they let the general know that the bikers come.
That's right. So
the general's been waiting for they basically laid a fucking elaborate fucking snare to get these fucking bikers to come. And they showed up, but they showed up with women. So the general grabs Matt Dedrick and takes him into the office and starts questioning him about what the bikers' plans are, and he'll let him go and his friends go if they help him, and his girlfriends go, and he's all, there's no ladies here.
Oh, that's right. And he reveals that
he takes off his wig, which is exactly the same length as his hair.
Yeah.
And there's no ladies here, darling. And fucking and reveals. Oh, and dude, then the most poignant line of the fucking film happens.
I thought I had it. Oh, I think I do. No, I don't. I don't have it.
In lieu of having that line, he threw in that shitty bar fucking dialogue.
Oh, well, yeah, it goes... Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, he finds that. But, yeah, the general just stands up and says, "Faggots!"
That's all he says.
And that's the end of the movie.
End of the movie. All he does
is... They hang the fucking bikers and the... from a tree out in front of the where the party was.
So hang on. This is where the movie turns really fucking dark.
Yeah.
Is I was like, okay, so this is a comedy.
My mouth stood open for like fucking a full 30 seconds.
It was like the M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong. I was like, okay, so then after he yells faggots and he's super offended, it just shows him on the porch and
looking super fucking proud of himself.
And has all of the Pink Angels, literally.
The Pink Angels and a couple of the bikers.
Just lynched in their dresses hanging from a fucking tree.
And that's the end.
And then it just pans out and it's over.
And that's the end of the movie.
Everyone's dead.
No credits, no nothing.
They're all dead.
And that was supposed to be a comedy?
Yeah. Everyone dies.
What was the funny part about that?
That was fucked. I literally just sat there like not knowing what the fuck had just happened for like a good 45 seconds. I was just all...
They lulled you for an hour and some change, and then they just kill everybody.
I know.
In the most horrific way in the
South. Okay, so here was the whole thing, too, is I was thinking, why is this movie rated R? Because there's really no cursing.
It was the black tits.
The tits were the only reason that the movie was rated R.
And they say faggots a lot, but I don't think that was off limits back then.
That wasn't off limits back then. That was 2 years from Vietnam. They didn't give a fuck. Yeah, and that wouldn't even... I would even say in this day and age, if done in a context of showing somebody being ignorant, it would not get an R rating for somebody saying faggots.
No.
Yeah.
And but at the end there, I mean, it wasn't even gruesome. Towards like for the viewer,
yeah, it wasn't like violent. It was just vile.
I was like, what the fuck? Like it blew my mind. Like okay, so we're following along.
It was so there was no. It didn't show them like wrapping them up and like capturing them and torturing them or anything. It just goes from like faggots to like him looking proud of himself and them all hanging from a tree.
It was probably one of the most disturbing endings I've ever fucking seen, dude. I was like, well, there was no... Like, are we supposed to be laughing at them?
No.
Like, why is this a comedy? Like,
for a minute, I couldn't decide where the people who made the movie were coming from. Like,
I still don't know.
Which direction. I think they made enough of, like... I think they're coming from the gay side of things, not the like and the anti side of things.
No, I think you're right too. And
they're showing that people were ignorant and how awful people were. Right.
And I think that they were a little heavy-handed with it.
Yeah.
They were basically trying to say like, look, these are the characters you like throughout the course of the movie. Like, you know, they're just cool guys that you know are flamboyant
cool guys. Ryan would like to hang out with.
Yeah.
I mean, they're cool.
They're cool as fuck. And, like, they're fun-loving dudes just trying to get safely across the country to their gala. Like, they weren't trying to harm anybody. And
take
that
train.
And then it's like, well, you know, people are going to kill them because they're gay. But it went, like, to the point of lynching. It's like, whoa, dude, that's
straight front yard. That tree was built for that shit, though. Yeah, that tree was fucking hefty.
On that shit.
It had like fucking 8 bodies hanging off of one limb.
Yeah.
Dude, that was just...
It was an amazing ending, yeah.
it blew my mind. So, anyways, that's the end of that movie. I could talk about that end for quite a while because I couldn't believe that they went there with it. Like, yeah. I could not believe it.
As soon as I watched the end of that, I knew exactly where your post came from when you posted on the page. Yeah, I was just like I feel exactly what Ryan was fucking feeling right
what
there.
The fuck just happened? He's like, this. It felt like the end of... okay, so we get, like, this kind of lighthearted romp around, you know, travel story with these gay motorcyclists going to a party. And then at the very end, it was like a fucking Twilight Zone episode. Like, what the fuck?
It was a little bit like Hardcore Logo, almost.
So dark. Like,
remember Hardcore Logo, right?
Now, before we do end here, I would actually wonder, because of the way the state of a lot of people felt about homosexuals in the 70s, and it wasn't as let's say, accepted as it is now, and getting more and more accepted... I wonder if people would watch this movie and here's the darkest part and laugh at the end.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, especially back then.
Dude, I think that part of
there's, there was people who were like uncomfortable that whole fucking movie, and they're like, fuck these guys, these fucking queers, blah blah blah, and then they're like, well, no, nope, that's what you get.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with you that there's always, still is that crowd is out there. Those old people.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Still need to go die.
Well, it's not even fucking old people. There's still fucking young people.
Yeah, who act you're like right. That. You're right. But it's becoming less and less percentages. But somebody that would just laugh at that, like, ha ha ha, they all died. This is the best comedy I've ever seen. Like, what the fuck? I don't know. Anyways. It was what it was. It was a great movie.
See, I think the only reason it got fucking a comedy rating is because it's just goofy. It's a goofy fucking movie. And I guarantee the people who made it weren't like, oh, we're making this as a comedy. I think made it to make a movie, and like people labeled it as comedy later because it's silly.
Well, and it's silly. Well, it's really hard to say. I mean,
and then the very end of the movie is not so silly, but whatever.
I don't know what to say. Faggots. I don't know what we're watching.
Faggots. Oh, you just had it.
Oh, I did have it.
I think I'd like better than to nail a few of those long-haired bastards. Of course, the utmost of discretion will be yours, Senator.
I guess I just... See, that's how it ends, right there.
They don't even roll credits. It's just, it goes straight to the media company that re-released it.
It goes straight to that. And it's like in the middle of the day in this front yard.
Yeah. At night.
How's the utmost discretion?
Right?
It's on your porch, on the street.
Wrong party.
Wrong
party. Yeah, that's where they got wrapped up. That's why that first scene happened.
Oh, okay.
It's because they show up there and they're like, whoops, this is not where we were supposed to be, huh?
They got drugged?
No, they weren't drugged. They just thought they were going to a good party, and they showed up and they're like, whoa, this isn't the scene we were looking for.
You think they could have done a little more research into what kind of party they were going to? They're going to cruise that far for it.
No, that's not the party they were going to. They were going with the bikers.
Yeah.
Their plan
was to pretend they're women. And
their ball hadn't happened yet.
This is what all I can see happening.
Okay,
well, I'm going to pretend I'm a chick and get to some place I can't get away from, and some place I've never been, and then I'm going to die anyways. They all knew they were dead. They just didn't know how. They knew the bikers were going to kill them.
All right. Well, that's the end of Cinema Dumpster episode 26. 20. It was a good one.
Yeah. It was a great one.
It
was my favorite movie we've watched for this podcast.
It blew my mind. The end was really, I was just like, what the fuck? It was a good one. And we'll be back probably maybe in a couple weeks because Gabe's busy. So we'll figure it out.
We're doing a fucking...
It's your pick, right?
Yeah, that bloody ass fucking Norwegian or whatever. Adam Chaplin.
Okay, sounds good. All right, folks.
Bringing in a guest speaker next time. Tune in.
Oh, yeah. That's when we're doing that? Okay. Sounds awesome. Having a guest person on next time. 27. Take care.